The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Let your spirit not just fill up this sanctuary. Lord, we call upon your spirits to fill up the temples, all of the earthen vessels that are under the sound of my voice, that are tuning in right now. For Lord, we have this treasure in these earthen vessels. Lord, we're not worthy, but you are worthy. Lord, there's trouble on every side. We are perplexed, but we are not cast down. Even now, lift up somebody's bowed down head and let somebody know that you are still in control, that you are still on the throne. Turn with me now to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 32. But as I say each and every week, it is imperative, please, ma'am, and please, sir, that you keep your Bibles open or your apps or whatever you're using. I also want to implore you, just like last week, that you might get pen or pencil or paper or your OneNote or whatever you're going to use to take some notes from today's message, because there will be a number of scriptural references that I'll make, but we won't have time to read them all. But today's message is one that will be filled with scripture references that you'll want to take some time afterwards to make sure that you spend some time in the Word of God. If you're physically able, I'm going to ask whether you're here in the sanctuary online that you would please stand for the reading of the Word. We do that per the scriptures, for it says in Nehemiah 8 and 5, says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And so we stand in reverence to the Word of God. We also stand in reverence to the presence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I'm only going to read one verse, but again, I need you to keep your Bibles open. It says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Amen. Give me. Before you take your seat and before I give the title, let me just say this, that if you look at verses 22 through 32 here in the passage, the word here gives a list of men that were equipped for war. These were men that came to David to help him turn over the kingdom of Saul to him. And if you total all of the men, I'm giving some background, From verses 23 through verse 31, there are over 60,000 men. The record of the sons of Issachar in verse 32 comes after those over 60,000 men are noted and mentioned earlier in the record. The record of the sons of Issachar was completely different from the men listed earlier. The over 60,000 men mentioned here in the passage in verses 23 through 31 were ready, hear me, to go to battle. And that's good, but there's some fights where just being ready to go to battle is not good enough. We must not only be listed in the army of the Lord, we must also have understanding of the times. The sons of Issachar stood out from all the others because they were the only ones that the understanding of the times was attributed to. I'm going to teach it. In other words, they were the only ones who had discerning minds to know what was happening at the time in question and knew the appropriate steps to take or the things to do in line with the times they were in. This shows, my brothers and sisters, that spiritual understanding is rare. After the disheartening, disturbing, and sad event of this past Wednesday, images of rioters storming our nation's capital, a domestic terrorist attempt at a coup that played out on live television for our nation and the entire world to see. After much prayer, deep prayer and consideration, the Holy Spirit had me put aside, had me shelve, if you will, what I thought and had planned to preach on this Sunday in order to address the violence and the spirit of Wednesday siege at the Capitol. For hear me, the Lord is desiring that you and I and any others will be a part of the few that move and walk with spiritual understanding of the times that we are in. So on this second Sunday of January the 10th, we're only two Sundays into the new year 2021. With your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject from the text, understanding the times. Let us pray that prayer of unification and consecration that we pray each and every Sunday. Repeat after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Understanding the times. By any measure, 2020 was a tough year. And we all assumed 2021 would be different. Not perfect, of course, but not as difficult or as trying, maybe. Well, following the postmortems of the year that couldn't end fast enough, the first week of 2021 has not provided a balm, if you will, for 2020 as much as it has amplified last year's relentlessness. For Black America in general, the year has begun with a series of events that once again have put on global display some same old reminders. In Wisconsin, the Kenosha County District Attorney announced on Tuesday that no charges would be filed against a police officer who fired 7 shots to the back of Jacob Blake, a Black man. Blake is now paralyzed from the waist down, and the police officer who shot him is home free. Later that Tuesday and into Wednesday, teach Holy Ghost, we heard the results of the U.S. Senate runoffs in Georgia. But by Wednesday afternoon, a mob of the president's supporters, some armed, but all of them fueled by a morning rally with words from the president falsely claiming election fraud, they stormed the U.S. Capitol, temporarily postponing the certification of an American presidential election. Photos and videos show these insurrectionists leisurely roaming the building, with some breaching legislative offices, others stealing property. They proudly waved the traitorous flag of the Confederacy through those hallowed halls. They desecrated the center of American government while our government officials were cowering behind closed doors, and they walked through the halls chanting death to the vice president. Yet law enforcement put up minimal resistance, and once authorities did gain control of the situation, just a few dozen people were arrested at the scene on Wednesday, while the rest of the mob were allowed to walk away freely, to go home and go about their merry way. But of course, the truth be told, that outcome would have been profoundly different had those rioters been black. This past Wednesday made it painfully clear that certain Americans, in fact, are in fact allowed to denigrate the flag and symbols of our nation. They just have to look the right way. Because just last summer, officers arrested reporters, attacked citizens, and clashed with protesters as Americans demonstrated in memory of George Floyd and other deaths and instances of injustice and inequality. The images of rioters storming the Capitol was a disturbing reminder of the volatile state of the country and the fragile nature of our democracy. In the span of a few hours, the country finally witnessed the price of its four-year experiment, turning our election process into a reality show that produced an unhinged egomaniac as commander-in-chief who amassed so much power through his incessant lies and fear-mongering that he was able to engineer an insurrection as a final act that has left our democracy dangling by a thread. Lord, help me to stand tall. The consequences were deadly. Five people have died as a result of Wednesday's riot, including a Capitol police officer. But my brothers and my sisters, if you don't understand the times that we are in, then you won't know what you should be doing at the present time, or you could end up doing nothing, or maybe doing the wrong thing. You could do something, but that something could have a negative effect on you, or it just might be that you waste this present opportunity. Hear me when I say this. Every time, every season comes with its own opportunities. For the present time that we are in, if we don't understand it, we can easily miss out on what God is calling out to us, either to remember, to pay attention to do, maybe to stop, to change, let go of, hold on to, and improve in our personal lives, our families, in the body of Christ, in our nation, and the nations of the world. Without understanding of the times, opportunities are wasted. Without understanding of the times, people live foolishly instead of wisely. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So, how can you and I, how can someone have an understanding of the times that we're in? Well, one way is by placing what is happening in these times alongside the Word of God. It is not enough for us just to view what's happening today from the perspective or from the opinions and memes being circulated on social media. No, ma'am. No, sir. If you didn't ever have your Bible close to you before, you better have it close to you in these days and times. Because your Bible must be close to you at this time. Listen, it's going to now have to be repositioned. Your Bibles are going to have to be closer than your cell phone, your iPad, your laptop. Listen, it's not just enough to read or listen to the news. My brothers and sisters, we must get into or back into the Word of God. So I've been asking, Lord, what are you saying to us? So we ask, what does the Word of God say about the times that we are in? The first of two main points I'm going to make. The first point is this. It is biblical confirmation of the things that will precede the coming of Christ. When you have time, read Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. When you get there, you'll see that in verse 5 says that many will be deceived. Verse 6 says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Verse 7 says, nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. Listen, when you hear of pestilence, that's another word for pandemic. Don't forget, even with all the foolishness that went on this past week, that we are still in the midst of a pandemic. Don't forget, we are still dealing with the coronavirus, which the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths in the U.S. are continuing to break records every day. So when you hear and witness events like Wednesday and overwhelming diseases that can affect the community and the world at large, it's important, it's imperative that we understand the times. Understand that all of these are part of the things that will precede the coming of Christ. But then in Matthew 24, verse 8, teach Holy Ghost, it says that what we see now, watch this, is nothing compared to what's coming. More painful and sorrowful things. We thought that it couldn't get any worse. And then came Wednesday. Well, listen, there will be probably more painful things to come that could possibly unfold as the days and years progress. Jesus has made it plain and clear to us that no one knows the exact day nor the hour of his coming. When you have time, read Matthew 24, 36. I'm not come to give you the opinion of king. I'm here to talk about the King of Kings. When you have time, read Matthew 24, 36. But here's the deal. We can't say that just because our nation is at war with itself and because we are facing things like the coronavirus that Jesus is coming back today. We can't even say he's coming back this month, this year, 10 years from now, or even 100 years from now, because the way we view things and the way we calculate things is different from God's concept of time. Again, read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But what we can say is that if the events Jesus said would precede his coming are happening, then guess what? Your concern, my concern, our concern should be to prepare ourselves now. Not next year, not when we are older, not when we become less busy, when we make more money, but we should prepare ourselves to meet with the Lord now and not be shut away from the Lord when he returns. Read Matthew 24, 42 through 44. There is no denying being angry, being dismayed, and disgusted about events like this past Wednesday. And it is extremely important to take precautions against the coronavirus. But we must also take every precaution necessary for Jesus' return. So, what should be the prayer? What should be the attitude of someone who understands the time? Well, I'm not saying I can read you all's mind, but we can't be praying for the invoking of the 25th Amendment. We can't be praying for an unprecedented second impeachment of the president, can't even be praying that the virus will stop so we can resume our normal lives. No, but you and I ought to be praying that everything in our normal and everyday lives that distract us from God, that all of that be removed. It can't be just to pray that this president be kept far away from us, or that the virus be kept far away from us. But we have to pray that we ourselves are not kept far away from God. Yes, it's good to follow all of the health precautions to avoid the coronavirus, because to do otherwise would be foolish. But what is even more foolish is to take precautions against the things that precede the coming of Christ, but not to take any precaution against the main thing All of these events are pointing to, which is the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The major precaution for the coming of Christ is to be in Christ and not outside of Christ. John 15 and 6. The main precaution for the coming of Christ is to live for Christ and not for yourself or the things of the world. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. The major precaution for the coming of Christ is to be ready when the Lord shall come, not taken unaware. In other words, to live each and every day as if this were your last day. Matthew 24, 44. So now more than ever before, I'm not saying that I want to tell you what to pray. You pray as the Spirit leads you to pray. But this has to be one of our prayers. Lord, help us to be in Christ. Help us to live for Christ. Help us to do everything necessary to get ourselves ready to reign with you in glory. So, a first point that I simply wanted to make is that you and I need to understand the time and recognize that this is biblical confirmation of the things that will precede the coming of Christ, as stipulated in Matthew 24, 3 through 8. But here's the second main point I'm going to make. That it is a time to humble ourselves before God and seek God's mercy. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 13 through 15. If we have understanding of the times, we know that God is calling us to humble ourselves, seek his face, spend more time with him, and turn from our sinful ways. And here's a word we've stopped using, but we need to bring it back. Repent. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 13 through 15 tells us that whenever there is a pestilence in the land, the people of God must take decisive action. The people of God must be very deliberate. We must think carefully about our lives, reflect on our actions, and then take necessary steps to bring us out of where we are, watch this, to where God wants us to be. What the scripture didn't say, God didn't say if the government, if the educational sector, if the public sector, if the private sector, if the health sector, etc., humbled themselves and did the right thing, that there would be change. Teach, Holy Ghost. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen, I don't mean any harm, but it's a waste of time in times like this to sit down and blame the government or the health sector or social services or science for not being proactive or equipped for the times. There's a whole lot of rhetoric, even with regards to what happened on Wednesday, saying that the folks should have been better prepared. Well, God is saying, you talking about the Capitol Police, and I'm talking about my people. Because unfortunately, that has even caught my people flat-footed. Hey, listen, it's a waste of time. Our response at this trying time is for you and I to get back to the Maker, to the one that calls us His people. And it's time for us to seek His mercy and His intervention. Listen, stop it. It's not time for passing the buck to the government and analyzing their ineptitude and irresponsibility. Mm-mm. This ain't the time for you and I to lament or send out a bunch of memes or bash on social media. This is time for prayer, and it's a time for a prayer of repentance. Nehemiah, just like Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 1, 4 through 7, again, when you have time, it's time for us to stay before God and weep. It's time for us to confess our personal sins. It's time for us to confess the sins of our families, the sins of all believers in our nation and all over the world. Our confidence in approaching God and taking time to pray that sort of prayer is the promise of hope and deliverance that God said He can give us, which is that He will listen to us, He will restore us and our land to health. We got a whole lot of folk who spend more time looking for the government to run them their money than they are running to the throne of grace with boldness. There are too many people who are already planning what the government check is going to do, and God has said, I own a cattle on a thousand hills. We serve a God who said that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So from the bottom of our heart, and with all sincerity. Again, I'm not telling you what to pray. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But what I am doing as a voice of God is planting a seed in your spirit. Can we say this prayer? Father, please forgive us for neglecting you and going contrary to your word and your ways. Forgive us for disconnecting ourselves from you. Forgive us, cleanse us, purge us, and purify our hearts, and bring us back to the cross. Bring us back to Christ. That way, when we get in the middle of a crisis, we can call on Christ and quit trying to see what's trending on social media. Listen, as I get ready to close, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 28 through 31. It says, when there is a famine in the land, when there is pestilence, when there is blight or mildew, locust or grasshopper, when their enemies besiege them in the land and its cities, when there is any plague or illness, every prayer or petition that any person or all your people Israel may have, they each know their own affliction and suffering as they spread out their hands toward this temple. May you hear in heaven your dwelling place, and may you forgive and give to everyone according to all their ways, since you know each heart, for you alone know the human heart, so that they may fear you and walk in your ways all the days they live on the land you gave our ancestors. That's the word of God. Solomon is simply saying that in times of crisis, calamity, and pestilence like we see today, whatever prayer is genuinely made by anyone or by all of the people of Israel, God will hear those prayers. So for God to move at a time like this, individuals like you and me must be praying. And I'm not talking about the P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, because there's too much that kind of praying going on throughout the world. But we need to be praying P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. For God to move at a time like this, we got to be praying. So I'm talking to whoever you are. You being a member or a person in the army of the Lord. Listen, your prayer life must be alive. But not only that, your prayer life has to be intense and it has to be vibrant for times like these. All the people of Israel, all of God's people must be praying. As a church, as a body of believers, we must pray vibrant and intense prayers corporately. The fire of prayer must be burning on the hearts of our personal altar, on our family altar, as well as on the altars where we gather to worship God and to meet with our Lord. When there is a crisis, calamity, and pestilence, the prayer of one person can go a long way. But the prayer of God's people together with one heart and one mind, even if it's an online prayer or an online gathering, that can accomplish some great things. Listen, there are so many people at a time like this that need the prayer of one person. And that one person, the Lord might be saying, is you. There are so many things that the church of God need to be in prayer for, and that one person the Lord might be touching is you. Those affected by the virus need our prayers. Those treating those that have been affected by the virus need our prayers. Our government leaders need our prayers to make wise decisions and not to be manipulated by Satan to carry out his evil agenda. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9. If disaster comes on us, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple and before you, for your name is in the temple. We will cry out to you because of our distress, and you will hear and deliver. Listen, let's not approach the times that we are in with just physical measures and with only our physical senses. Listen, mask up, wash your hands, sanitize, amen. All of those are good things to do regularly, but our hearts must also be washed But the washing that has to be with the blood of Jesus. And let our spirits be alive to pray and bring down mercy and the power of God on our land and the nations of the world. Listen, it's time for you. It's time for me. It's time for us to seek divine exemption and protection. Why? Because it's necessary that we understand the times. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.